What up, though? October 26, 2016. iHeart Miko podcast. I know that I put one out yesterday for you guys, so this is probably a shock. But I couldn't let opening night of the NBA season just go by without having some bars for y'all and speaking about what happened. I mean, I had planned on doing the show yesterday to talk about, you know, to preview the two, you know, or there was another game too. There was three highlighted games, but when I read about all the fuck shit that the NBA players and the coaches and the front office people are doing and hating on the NFL, it kind of turned me off the game a little bit. It kind of pissed me off that, you know, my favorite sport, people that I support, people that, you know, I feel like are trying to do things in the community are now turning their back and hating on other athletes that are trying to do the same thing. And I knew this was going to happen, but I just thought our players, the NBA players, would be smarter than this. But apparently they're not. So we're not going to get into a lot of that shit today. We're going to talk X's and O's. We're going to talk about wins and losses. We're going to talk about winners and losers. And since we're talking about basketball, it's only one person that outside of my husband that I actually talk to daily about games, NBA games, and that's my nigga Hustle. What up, though?
Talk to me. What up, Miko?
Shit, man. We was talking last night. We were going to get on the mic last night, like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, because we were so lit. But we ended up not doing it.
Yeah, it was a good day for basketball yesterday.
It really was.
We back.
We are fucking back. Oh, my God. So I'm happy. I mean, I love football. Let me just say this. I love football, but it's not anywhere close to my love for basketball. Like, it's not even in the same spectrum. Like, if I had to choose between football and basketball the rest of my life, it would be a very easy choice for me. It would be basketball. How do you feel about football versus basketball?
It's personal.
Tell me. Tell me your personal opinion of it.
I feel like that's what I mean. It's personal. I like basketball. Basketball is better because it's more exciting, meaning, like, you know, you can actually feel a connection with the players. If you're a fan or whether in football, they can't. There's a restriction. They can't celebrate. They got to have a helmet. You know, they can't take their helmet off. It's hard to get a connection. With basketball, you know, you know them when they walk in restaurants. You know them from TV, from commercials. It's just, it's a different type of excitement. And everybody tries to play basketball. So anybody who tries to play or plays it, you got to appreciate what they're doing out there.
Right. And see, my issue also with NFL versus NBA, a lot of people always think, oh, well, the Super Bowl and football is the number one sport in America. And I think the reason for that is because you can be lied to in it. You can be tricked. You can be fooled into believing who's the best and who isn't, and media is a bigger part of it. And then they force feed it all year. You know, there is nothing. When the championship is over in basketball, you don't hear about NBA players until, like, probably the preseason games. Am I right?
True.
The media.
True. Except for, you know, key players.
No, if it's some controversy or if somebody slapped their wife or get a DUI, yeah. But nobody's talking 24/7 about the NBA like they do the NFL. And I think that's because they need to keep lying to you. They need to keep force feeding you and forcing you to like this sport more. And I think it's just too much. You know, basketball is 82 games and a lot of people think that's too much. But you don't hear about basketball all year. No one's at training camp counting how many shots LeBron missed in practice. But they do that in football. Who didn't catch what pass in training camp? Like, who gives a fuck? Why do people care about that so much? Do people count how many shots Steph missed in preseason or in training camp or in practice? Like, why does the NFL shove it down everybody's throat so much? It's ridiculous.
They want that to be the number one sport. They want it to be America's sport. And, you know, America's sport. They want football to be that. But I think basketball is taking a big step forward. I think, you know, because they constantly talk about football ratings getting low.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball is taking that stuff up with their notoriety now.
Yeah, and
you can tell with the contract.
And the ratings are low because nobody cares anymore. Like, people are just fantasy players now. DraftKings and all this stuff. They're trying to gamble and win. You don't have to watch the game to fucking gamble and win on sports. Like, people aren't fans of teams anymore. They have their fantasy team, and they're going to cheer for everybody on their fantasy team. So, it's like, why watch the game?
In real life, fantasy has made – in real life, it make you not care about who win tonight. You just want your guys to perform.
Yeah, who cares who won? I need my receiver to get 100 yards. I need my running back to get 100 yards. I need my quarterback to throw for at least 350 yards. I need my defense to hold this other team to 17 points. Like, it's like you can't even – you're not a fan of the game anymore. You're a fan of winning stats and numbers and all this shit, and that's really what's driving the NFL, and that's why it's such bullshit, because you – of all the sports, of all the professional sports, the one sport you absolutely cannot gauge or judge a player on by numbers is NFL. Because you have to know the defense. You have to know the scheme. You have to know where the person was supposed to go. And you don't know that. You don't know that. So the only way you know that is if the players tell you some shit, in which they don't do because they don't have First Amendment rights. If the front office tells you, and they usually don't because they have an agenda, and the media is just stupid. They don't know anything. They just repeating and regurgitating whatever ESPN tells them and what PFF stats say. So NBA greater than NFL on this show. Hope that doesn't bother you guys. I still love you. So the real sport is back. The real skill is back. Because this is skill. You can hide skill in the NFL. You cannot hide skill in the NBA. As we saw, we're going to get into a whole bunch of shit that we saw last night that we didn't see last year. But we have to start off with the king, the champs, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Who told America Cavs in seven last year? Me.
You did say that.
Me.
You did.
I called it. On Father's Day, we will win the chip in the Oracle and silence the whole bay. It happened.
You said it. I remember when you said it, too.
I said it before the series started. I said it while the other series was going on. I said, oh, yeah, it's going to take seven, but it's cool because I already knew we were going to beat them. We're going to get into why, because there's some reasons now why I believe we're still going to beat them this year after watching the game yesterday. It's early, though. But game one, LeBron got his first ring. Cleveland Cavaliers fans got to see a banner go up in their stadium. How incredible is that?
It was bananas, too. It looked like, oh, in the same day, game one, baseball game, get ready to start. It was like,
Cleveland is lit.
I know the city was bananas.
Cleveland is back, lit. Like officially back. And now, like, all they really got to do now is get the Browns on board. I don't know if it's going to be this year. But if they can get the Browns.
I don't know what year that's going
to be. If they can get the Browns to start, you know what I'm saying? If they can get a decent quarterback in the draft, if they would allow me to do some of their drafting, they might be all right. Get all three cities popping, all three teams in the same city popping, Cleveland would be back. So the person I'm most happy for, you know I'm a diehard LeBron James fan, but the person that I actually was happiest for last night was J.R. Smith.
I knew you were going to say that. We the same type of people. So, you know, we was both happy for J.R. Smith.
Tell me why you were so happy for him.
Oh man, J.R. Smith has that street pedigree about him. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have too many guys in the league this street, mm-hmm. and for him to be celebrated, you know, a lot of times those guys are never celebrated. You mm-hmm. know, he got paid like he was a good player. He's been celebrated like a good player. So I know that was an emotional moment for him because he's never gotten his due respect because of his past and his past character. Or so-called, you know, negative things that they was holding above him.
Yeah, people always, for some reason, I'll never understand it, but for some reason, people think that athletes, because they have the skill to play a sport better than everybody else in the country, people for some reason think that they need to be perfect people. Like, they're not allowed to make mistakes. And I don't like that. JR has made some mistakes, but so what? What does that have to do when he's on the court? And I feel like everything that he's done in his entire career all rolled around into last night. And he deserved that ring. He earned that ring. And people will still discredit him, I believe. But he is a big part of why Cleveland got that ring.
Yeah. You know? He's grown as a man.
Yeah.
He's grown as a man and as a player. Like, it's like he, like LeBron, I guess I don't want to say, but I feel like that LeBron helped put it all together. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that a lot of people are going to understand later on that, you know, humans all make mistakes. It doesn't matter what your superpower is. You're human. And just because you can shoot a basketball or catch footballs or run fast or whatever it is that you do, that doesn't mean you're not human. And people need to stop acting like because somebody makes mistakes that they don't deserve to win and have success in their career. Because there's a lot of very, very bad people that make bad mistakes in other careers, and they're still able to flourish and keep their job and do all the things that they do. But for some reason, people always want to hate on athletes, and it's kind of annoying. So shout out to Swish for the rings. Shout out to LeBron, the whole crew. Well-deserved.
The land.
The land. Shout out to the land, man. I know my boy Cuffs. Shout out to Cuffs, man. I know he was lit last night. I meant to call him too, but I was too busy celebrating my damn self. You know, I make Brent buy me a ring every time LeBron gets a ring.
Are you serious?
Hell, you goddamn right. So now he don't want to buy the ring because they beat the Warriors.
It's got to be. It got to be the funniest.
Yeah, I want a goddamn ring. He asked me how many shots I made this year to get the ring. How many rebounds did you get, Miko? How many shots did you make? Were you at practice every day? And I said, listen. My blood, sweat, and tears went into cheering. Do you know how many times I lost my voice? Do you know how many times I argued with somebody on social media? Huh?
Say the name. Say LeBron name. Say it one time.
LeBron James. Honey, I just don't understand why Brent doesn't want to get me my ring. But you know what? If I got to buy it my damn self and box it up and wrap it like a gift and everything and put two Miko from Brent, then I'm going to do that. But I deserve a ring. Not that ring, not the ring they got, but just a little, you know what I'm saying? It could be a $20 ring. I don't care. It needs to be real gold. So maybe it can't be $20, but I need a ring.
A replica.
I need a ring.
Get a replica.
Yeah, a replica. I will do that. So he didn't want to give me my little ring, but it's cool. He was salty last night. We was watching the Cavs smack the Knicks. And he was like, oh, they look good. They do look good, you know, blah, blah. And I'm like, mm-hmm, they sure do, don't they? And he was like, it's cool. We watching them. Because, you know, at first, the game was kind of close. The Knicks and Cavs game, you know. And then next thing you know, third quarter happened. And the shit was over with. So let's talk about the new guys. The new guys on the Cavs. Who's new?
Dunleavy.
Bum Levy is
Mike
new.
Dunleavy.
You know I call him Bum Levy when he was with the Bulls. I used to call him Bum Levy all the time. He used to just get on my nerves, you know. Like it's just some of the stuff they used to do. And now he's on my team, and now I got to cheer for him. I'm still gonna call him Bum Levy. But I saw a lineup that they went into with him, Bron, Fry, Jefferson, and Kyrie at the point. Do you remember that lineup?
That's unfair.
Unfair. Oh my God. At first I was a little nervous because Bum Levy was out there and I was like, wait a minute. Maybe we want to put Shump. Maybe we want to, you know, but it worked. It was incredible. It was incredible when they went to that small lineup because the Knicks didn't know what to do because you can't double. Everybody's a shoot. Everybody can shoot the ball. Everybody can penetrate. Fry, I don't know about him penetrating, but it was such a bad situation for the Knicks, and I believe that lineup is what opened up the game.
Nah, I mean, Dunleavy is the pickup that might put them, that might help them win back to back.
Why you say that?
Dunleavy addition, because he's 6'9". He's a legit 6'9". He's almost a 40% career 3-point shooter.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and he can come off screens. He can come off down screens. He can play multiple positions. He can run the pick and roll. He's one of those guys that was good at some point in time in his career, and now he's a veteran and he gets to go and just do all the little things.
You're right. That's exactly what I saw. I didn't see any of that when he was in Chicago. He used to get on my nerves, but but I think it was the group that was around him. So now I'm learning to appreciate Bum Levy. I really am after watching him last night. So we
got to give him a new name.
I do. I got to give him a new name. But, you know, one of the things that I thought was a positive for the Cavs last night is because this is the third straight season that they've had this same core of guys. You know, so
yeah.
Not only did they win, but they're only going to get better because we kept JR, like the group, the band is still together. You know?
Man. And they had a whole offseason. Like, this was the first offseason with T. Lou as the coach. You know? And with him be able to implement more of his strategy, how he want them to play. And now you see, like, from the beginning now, LeBron is, like, being the point forward. Now it's like Kyrie is strictly a two guard. So now we get to see for a whole year what it's like with LeBron being, like, a point forward and Kyrie being a two.
Yeah.
Now it's going to be interesting because now everybody has bought into the system in which they're going to play. They know this is how we play. We want playing like this. This is how we're going to play moving forward. So even if they take nights off or whatever, you know, like they say in the league, they're still going to win a lot of games because everybody, they have a style of play that everybody has bought into and it's easy.
Right, right. So they lost Dele and Mozgov. Do you see that affecting, you know, the wins and losses and you know, the playoffs and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, no, they'll be fine. Dele and Mozgov are good players, but everybody knows LeBron, Kyrie, you know, they're the heartbeat. You know, that's just what – and if you surround LeBron with shooters, they're going to always be successful. So that's just – I mean, history shows they'll be fine. And then Kay Fielder, the backup point guard,
yeah,
he's going to end up being a rotation player.
Yeah. I that was my first – you know, I don't really like to watch the preseason all the time, and the reason for that is because I know those aren't – I know that they're just working with stuff, playing with stuff, seeing how it works. And sometimes I get annoyed when I see that a matchup doesn't work, but I know the coaches have to go through that figuring out phase. And I get annoyed. I'd be like, oh, this ain't working, sub. But you can't do that. You have to give stuff a chance. So this is my first time really watching him, and I think he's gonna be big for us because he's really essentially going to be Dele. And he's better. Even though he's young, I think he's a better basketball player. What do you think?
Oh, he's a better basketball player than Dele. He's more of a scorer. See, he can really score. Dele was more of a facilitator. He played basketball. He played the right way.
Yeah.
And he took shots that came to him as they came. Felder's more aggressive. He's going to be able to take a few shots.
Are you concerned at all with our size? Because we got Birdman, and I think he's on for sure one of the wings are clipped, for sure. So he got one wing. What are we going to be using him as? Just garbage minutes, like fouls, just resting big guys?
I mean, it's a long season, so you want to try to, you know, you might have a month where you might have a lot of back-to-backs or something like that. You just want to ease him in to, you know, get Tristan Thompson a day off and he's dinged up or lower his minutes sometimes, you know, depends on how the season goes. This is one of the deepest teams Cleveland has ever had, LeBron has ever had. They really go to the end of the bench with guys that can play.
Right.
I just feel like they just wanted him to fill some gaps until they get to the postseason. Because in the postseason, you're going to have a lot of LeBron playing power forward. Or, you know, with Kevin Love playing center or Tristan Thompson at center, you know, like that. So he's a nice veteran to have.
Right. So LeBron opened the night up with a triple-double. He came right on in where he left off. He didn't shoot the ball all that well, but the dunks, the nigga had, what, eight dunks? Six? Seven? Like,
don't perpetuate it. He had six.
Six? Man, I just couldn't. I was cooking when the game was on, you know what I'm saying, being domestic like I'm supposed to be. And I'm just, like, trying to watch the game, not burn the food and all the shit. And every time I look up, this nigga is trying to rip the rim off. And I'm like, Jesus. What?
Cooking.
19, 11 rebounds, 14 assists. The ignorant is blocked again. He just so disrespectful. And this was his 43rd triple-double of his career. What can the haters say now?
He got holes in his game. He don't have skill.
He still didn't shoot the ball that well. You know what I'm saying? That's what they say. But we got Kyrie had 29. Love had 23. Jefferson, 13, 4 rebounds, 2 steals off the bench. Man, major key.
Hey, come on, it's like game in and game out. You can have a different player go off the Cleveland bench. It was Jefferson yesterday. The next game, it could be Shannon Fry. Mm-hmm. Game after that, it could be Dunleavy.
Yeah, it could be anybody.
It's going to be a fun year for Cleveland.
I think it's going to be – you know why I think it's going to be so fun too? Because there's so many people that still hate them. And that's why it's going to be fun for me, because I know it doesn't matter how much you hate them. The championship comes through Cleveland this year, without a doubt. It's coming through Cleveland. Okay, so you got to deal with them. You're going to have to deal with them, you know. And unfortunately, the team that had to even to kick their season off with the ring ceremony, the Knicks, how – Is it a good or bad draw to a bad thing to draw the champs on opening night? Like, because I'm hearing people saying, "Oh, it's a good thing because you know when you watch them get their ring, it motivates you, it frustrates you, it makes you go harder." But to me, if you're a team like the Knicks who have had like maybe 4 postseason appearances in the last 15 years, how does that help you?
I don't think it helped them at all. I feel like the only good thing about it is, I guess before the season, they projected the Knicks to be a good team, so they made them play on opening night. You know, usually the teams who they project to be good play the champion on opening night. So I guess that's something to look forward to. They say the Knicks are going to be good.
So, you know, we didn't see all that good last night. I saw some good things, but overall, what did you think was the biggest issue with the Knicks last night?
I really feel like they have an identity issue.
Mm-hmm.
For one, like, they don't have enough ball movement, for one, and they have identity issues. Like, you have to have a pecking order. That's good. You have to have a number one option, a number two option, number three option, and everybody has to buy into it, because that's the only way the coaching system is going to work. If you don't do that, it looks like some guys out there playing rec ball.
And that was something that I was thinking about, because I did watch a little bit of their preseason games. And the reason for that, shout out to Brandon Jennings. I was trying to watch my homie hoop. And so I was watching that. And what I came away with in the preseason was, are you laughing?
Yeah, that's the number one rec guy.
I know, that's my homie. Hey, I wanted to watch him. Hey, you know what? He is a rec guy, but I wanted to watch my nigga play. And when I came away from the preseason, and then after, I was like, let me just see what they do different in game one, like as a unit when it counts. And I came away from that thinking, what is their identity? If there's 3 seconds on the clock, does Derrick Rose get the ball or does Carmelo Anthony get the ball? I don't know.
See?
I don't know.
And then you got those 2 stars, and it's like, where does Porzingis fit in yet?
Yeah.
How you going to develop Porzingis and you got 2 guys who think they're top-tier superstars?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a lot of that going on. Then on top of that, they got the nerve to not play any defense. Because, you know, I know that Derrick Rose missed a lot of preseason, you know, dealing with his rape case. And Noah was a little bit injured. I think he had some surgery. What was it, his shoulder or something?
No.
No, wasn't he hurt or something?
I think he hurt his knee. He had shoulder in his knee.
He has something going on. So he missed a lot of preseason too. So I was trying not to judge them too harshly, because I was thinking to myself, maybe they don't have the chemistry. Because Derrick Rose, did he play like 1 game or something? And I just didn't want to judge him so hard. Like, I was trying to give them a chance, because I just feel like basketball is not the same when the Knicks aren't involved. Like, the Knicks are supposed to be like a problem. You know, they're not supposed to be best every year, but they're supposed to be a team where you got to come out and beat them. And they haven't been that for a long time. And I was thinking to myself, why is this going to work? Is Hornacek? I mean, I saw him in Phoenix. He did great things in Phoenix, but is it going to work?
I just don't see it. Like, you know what I was expecting? I was expecting Derrick Rose to, like you said, to try to be a point guard this time. Mm-hmm. To use his teammates. You know, I know he's not a great passer. He's never been a great passer or, you know, facilitator. I don't expect him to be that, but I expect him to at least try to run the offense, you know, space to do something different. He looks like the same Derrick Rose that was playing with the Bulls. And that Derrick Rose is not going to work in New York.
Why not? Because go ahead.
Because they have Carmelo, who's supposed to be their number one option. Then you got Porzingis, who you said is going to be the future face of your franchise. You just right now, we asked you to come in and be another possible all-star star that could just fill in, you know, make the team better and compete. But if he's not going to play his role, if he doesn't have a, you know, defined role of which where he's going to play, they're going to have up and down. They're going to be up and down all year.
It even looked weird seeing him wearing that number 25. I was like, ugh, it looked nasty.
I was like, who was that?
That's what I said to him. I said, Brent, who's 25? I was like, is that Derrick Rose? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, ugh, it just looked nasty on him. And I was like, what is he doing? Like, why is he choosing that number? And Brent said he wore it in high school or something.
Yeah, that was his number in high school, 25.
I wasn't very impressed. And I know that Melo doesn't get a lot of credit. I don't know. I know. I don't want to start bashing Melo, okay? Because I am a Melo fan. I've always been a fan of his game. I'm honest with my fandom about him. I am honest with what he is. And I'm okay with that.
What is he?
He's a volume shooter.
Okay.
And he's a scorer. He's a scorer. He doesn't play defense, but he can put the ball in the basket. Now, as far as playing the game, no. He doesn't play the game very well. And I feel like sometimes it's because of what he's had to play with. But how is someone like him who wants to catch the ball on the wing and do his own thing and score going to work with you saying Derrick Rose needs to be a facilitator? You can't be a facilitator if once it gets to one side where the guy is a scorer, is very good at scoring, wants to score the ball. Why does Derrick Rose need to be a facilitator if it's not going to swing once it gets to Melo anyway?
Because he's the point guard. He's the one bringing the ball up the court anyway. He have to pick and choose when he can get his baskets. And he's better in transition. So if it's not nothing in transition, it's not an easy bucket. A lot of times you want to try to get into an offense and at least, okay, let me go to Carmelo right now. And if Carmelo's not going or he's not doing it, then that's when he could be more aggressive and then look to get his shot or look to get other people involved. Like he got to be more of a point guard, you know, because he got two other weapons.
So, but what you're saying is that means Carmelo actually needs to also play team basketball.
Oh yeah, I mean we know that's the same thing. Like, I don't look at Carmelo like I said. People, that's for you and the rest of the people that are fans of Melo in that way.
I know you behave. Go ahead, Hustle. Get it off.
He's top than him. He's just not like he's not in the LeBron James conversation with those guys.
Absolutely not.
He's a good player. Yeah, he's a great scorer, but he's just not a great player. You know, Jamal Crawford is a great scorer.
Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm asking you, how is Derrick Rose being a facilitator going to work if Carmelo, all he wants to do is when he gets it, go one-on-one? Because truth be told, he probably can score on just about anybody in the league outside of, you know, some obvious people. But he can get his shot off. He's tall. He's good. So how do you, to me, in order for this to work, it's not about Derrick Rose. It's really about Carmelo Anthony and the Knicks. And I don't see Carmelo changing.
I said the same thing when I watched the game. When I was like, he made a few shots in the first quarter and everybody was excited.
Yeah.
So I was like, it's the same. It was ISO jumpers. You're going to miss more than you make most of the time with those type of shots. So
yeah.
If you're not driving to the hole, drawing an extra defender, getting somebody a dunk or layup, or if you're not, you know, or posting up, drawing a dunk, anything right, if you're not creating energy for the defense to look at you, then I feel like they're not going to win many games.
It's so weird looking at their roster because I'm just sitting here like, who are these guys?
But those guys actually look okay. Like when you those young players look like they can develop into some good rotation players.
They're never gonna make it though. They're never gonna see the light of day
with that team.
Yeah,
that's like, what I was saying. It was like how
you know what I mean. Melo had 19. Derrick Rose had 17. Porzingis, that's how you pronounce it. Porzingis had 16. Porzingis. He looked nice. 7'3". He looks right. He obviously doesn't move. He moves a little bit like he's 7'3", but He is nice. Like I could see why somebody would want to invest in him. You know, and I just feel
Yeah,
like
they do.
I really was hoping that this would be the year for the Knicks, but it really just doesn't look like it's not quite there. It's just not there.
Well, who do you think they should be running the offense through there? Either. Do you think they should be running through Melo or through Porzingis?
This is my honest opinion and truthfulness. I really, really feel like it can be through both of them. The problem is Melo feels he's superior, and he is because of experience and all those things. Hold on, seniority, that type of thing. But as far as skill and really trying to get to the postseason and do some things, Melo has to understand that it's going to take a village, and that means he's going to have to completely change his entire game. Play very unselfish. He actually might have to play some defense. And to me, if Melo changes and decides that he's going to do this, I think that Derrick Rose will then see that, because I don't see Derrick Rose. He's not a selfish player. He will get his shit off, but he's not selfish to the point where he would just be like, you know what? I'm just going to go the hole. I'm going to do what I do. I don't care if we have a good team. So if Melo continues to play the way he plays, I think that it's going to make Rose continue to play the way he plays. So once Melo makes the decision, I think that everybody would be on board with it.
So once again, it's all on Melo. You're blaming Melo. I just want to be
I'm
clear.
not blaming. I'm saying he might be, he's going to be the reason they win or the reason they lose. How about that?
So you're blaming. That's just, look, I've never seen you tinker around like this when it comes to players. Like you asked me to shoot straight from the hip every
I'm
time when we
shooting.
talk
The
about
reason,
this.
this is
So.
why. Hold on, let me tell you why. Because I've been on teams like this before, and I've been the person on the team with the most offensive skill. But I play defense too. But I've been on a team where, when as soon as the season started, I'm thinking to myself, we're not going to the playoffs. So I might as well get my issue off. I might as well get these fucking buckets, is how I see it. And I'd
I'm
be
not gonna
feeling
open
like
up no
that's.
can of worms.
I'm just saying that's not good basketball. I understand all that. But when you're playing overseas like I was doing, you're graded off your stats. And I'm not about to try to play team basketball and we not really that good. And then the front office is looking at me because I'm not getting my numbers. No, I'm gonna get my numbers. I'm gonna get these shots off. And I just feel like maybe Melo feels that way. I mean, he's saying different shit in the media, but he's not saying the things he's saying in the media. Oh, we're a good team. I see us getting the playoffs. We got the bright pieces. But he came out and did the same thing. So that's why I'm like, is he lying to us? Because if you really feel like you have everything you need, then you got to play team basketball. And I didn't see a lot of team basketball. Did you see how many threes the Cavs missed? Damn, how many they made, how many they missed. And people was like, oh, and I said, it doesn't matter if you miss and you wide open. You have to take those shots. The Knicks were nowhere to be found. Like they were trying to double here and there, but there was nobody trying to like rotate and recover and close out on the shooter. Motherfuckers was able to just dribble and focus and shoot the ball, missing like shit. But I just don't see any energy from them. And I feel like if they're gonna play like that, Melo's just gonna get shots up and score and go home.
See, that's what I don't. That's what I. That's what bothers me so much. It's like it gets to the point where those, although some players that are on the level of greatness that we expect them to be, and we look at them at, whenever they lose, we try to find something justification. Like, well, he's playing like this because of this,
Okay, go ahead,
or he's
Hussein.
playing like this because of this.
So you trying to
No,
say
that's his game.
you saying
Melo's
Melo
game
does
is
not
his
have the
game.
capability of being a team
He
player?
don't have, yeah. In my opinion, I don't feel like he has the capability to lead a team to a championship. Him with him being the number one option, that's how I feel when I look at them. I don't
But
feel like he's the number one option.
I don't. I can see you saying that right now. I do, and I don't think that's what they need for him to be the number one option. I think him and Porzingis need to be like a two-headed snake, you know? They need to feed off of each other. They need to, you know, people are going to still double team Melo sometimes, especially if he gets in the short post. And Porzingis, you already know they're going to have to do something with him if he starts working from the post and all that stuff. So I just feel like they can work off of each other, but I didn't see it. It's one game. It's just one game, right? So can
This
we
is
just,
one game.
but you, what? I'm done with you, Hustle. Hold on one second.
I'm just
Hold on one second. Aiden! Shut up and get out. Why do I keep hearing the door open? Close the door. I can hear it. Sorry about that. I'll edit that out. So anyway, so basically what you're saying is Melo is not it. Bringing Derrick Rose, Brandon Jennings as the backup, Joakim Noah leaving Chicago. He started last night too. Did you see that?
Did you? I mean, I think, like I said, I've seen him. I just, like, that might end up being one of the worst contracts in the NBA.
I couldn't believe it. I just,
I feel so bad.
I feel so bad talking about Noah, but I do not see, he's like the junkyard dog. He's like the hustle guy. He's not that skilled at all. I don't even know if he has, I see thumbs, but I don't know if they work. When I watch him catch.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Let me stop.
He plays hard. He plays hard.
You know who else played hard? What was his name? Popeye Jones. He played hard, too. I still wouldn't want him starting on my team.
That's why I said you can't win the championship. You don't really have championship aspirations with Joakim Noah just starting center, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was funny to me, and I just this is why I don't watch the preseason, because the first game start I actually get to like see, it's almost like the finished product on the first day. Like y'all had a whole month to train and work out and figure things out, and then when you put it out there, I'm gonna judge you off of that. Like, okay, no, that ain't it, and it just seems like they got a lot of work to do. I don't want to keep beating up the Knicks, but 117-88 was the final score. They got smacked. They had to watch the other team get rings. Poor Courtney Lee. Anyway, it was fun for me to watch that game because I was lit. I didn't care if they won or lost. Just seeing LeBron get his ring, seeing Swish get his ring, seeing Shump get his ring, like that was incredible to me.
You're a part of the land. Huh?
I feel like I'm a part of it. People keep calling me a bandwagon fan, Cleveland Cavaliers fan, and I don't really understand why people can call me that, because to me, I don't understand people that don't understand people that are fans of players. Like, why do I have to invest in an entire organization when my favorite player could be traded or cut and go to another team? Why?
Yeah, that makes perfect. It doesn't make sense, because wherever LeBron go, you going.
I'm going. It's not even a question. I'm going. You know, when he went to Miami, I went. When he came back, I came back. So you can call me whatever fuck you want to call me, but make sure you put champion in front of that motherfucker, because I'm a champion. I don't give a damn. I didn't play a damn 1 second. I didn't shoot one shot. I didn't get a rebound. I didn't coach. I tweeted the shit out of LeBron and all the players all season. I talked about them on my podcast. I'm a part of this goddamn championship. I don't care what nobody says. Oh, my God. So, game two, the Golden State Liars played the San Antonio Spurs. 127-100. They lied to us again, didn't they?
Yeah, they lied, man. They lied.
They lied to us.
It was just one game.
It was so why the Knicks? Why wasn't the Knicks just one game? Tell me the difference. Why the Warriors is just one game?
Because for one, you could tell the type of basketball the Knicks was playing. It was just we don't know what type of basketball that they was playing. We don't know what their identity is. We know what the identity is of Golden State. Steph Curry had, 20-something. Durant had 26. They just have a few things that they're going to have to work out as far as their rotation goes, as far as their dish rotation goes. That's a new bitch for them, too, because you really look at it, the bench was really getting outscored and
smashed
and got killed. And usually, you know, it was Bosa, Iguodala. Mm-hmm. They usually play well. The bench didn't carry weights yesterday.
Last year and the year before, that's why everybody was picking the Warriors, because it was like, not only do they have the Splash Brothers, and they had Draymond and all this, but their bench used to kill people. And then they had the nerve. They went and got rid of Bogut, Festus Ezeliya, and you know, we gave them a hard time in the playoffs, but they're really going to miss Harrison Barnes. They're going to miss him. And if for nothing else, for the fact that he was one of those players that could make an open shot, that could punish you if you try to double those other guys. Now, Bogut and Ezeliya being gone is the biggest issue to me. Quite simply because now they've got David West, Zaza Pachulia, and JaVale McGee as their big guys. Who is there anybody else? Am I missing anybody?
No, those are three.
That's it. That's the three? So you got a guy.
Yeah, that was
you got David West, who I've always respected his skill. There's no shade ever to David West, except for that dumb decision he made to give up that money to try to never pass up the bag, David West. Never, never. You got to go secure the bag, dog. But you know, I think never, right? Great player, you know, can contribute on offense and help you on defense. Zaza, I actually met Zaza in Istanbul, I believe, 2001, 2002. We played together in Istanbul, and that's when I met him. He was probably 18 years old. But Zaza's not going to give you what you need as a big man. And JaVale McGee, who's maybe played 60 games in the last 3 years, too many injuries, not a high basketball IQ, very athletic. Extremely athletic, but that's not all it takes to really be a center. And I saw a whole bunch of fans and some of the media were saying as soon as JaVale McGee, once they get him ready to start, once he's starting a center, it's going to be a whole different team. And I just can't see it. I can't see it. I know that he's supposed to be their rim protector, but when I saw Jonathan Simmons smash on him in the last 10 seconds of the game, like, bitch, nigga, who you supposed to be protecting the rim? What? Dog. The Warriors are in trouble.
Everybody gets ducked.
The Warriors are in trouble. The Golden State Liars are in trouble, Hustle. And I understand it was only one game, but what's going to happen, the reason that they're going to be in trouble is we're going to actually figure out that Steve Kerr might not be a good coach.
Wow.
What you think? Go ahead. Am I wrong?
Wow. it's like you're the second person that said this to me in the last few days. It's hard to battle. I don't know. Like, I feel like he's been around a lot of experienced coaches, and he made some good changes. I feel like throughout the postseason, sometimes to win games as well. I feel like I got to take a wait and see approach. I got to see how he developed his bench. Like, because Iguodala played bad yesterday. He played real bad yesterday too.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sean Livingston didn't even have the best of games. But I feel like it's gonna. I mean, I want to see how he figured that rotation out. Because Barbosa was a natural scorer, so it was easy for him. I don't see any, you know, most states was a natural scorer.
Mm-hmm.
So those two guys came off the bench with natural. I don't know if Ian Clark is a natural scorer. I don't know if, Iguodala's not a natural scorer. So it's going to be a little different without those guys. I feel like it's going to take them some time to figure out that rotation.
So they're the only team with a big four, you know. Everybody's upset about KD coming to the team, and you know, I did a podcast in the summer. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I have to. I just want to see. Did you listen to my free KD episode in this
the
summer?
Free KD one?
Yeah. Did you listen to that one?
Tell me a bit, and I'll tell you.
It was basically the episode where I went in on all the media and all the people that was hating on KD for coming to Golden State because they just felt like.
I remember. I listened to that one.
Do you remember the one thing that I said was the only bad thing that I could see as far as KD going to Golden State? Like, there was only one thing I would shade him on if I found out, and it was if he didn't communicate with Westbrook that he was leaving. Because I felt like if he was making this decision, if he was leaving, it's really nobody else's business. It's nobody's fucking concern. Don't worry about him going to secure his bag and doing what he needs to do. That's his career and it's his business. The only reason I said I would ever shade him is if I found out he just didn't even tell Westbrook and just dipped on the nigga. There was no conversation. And now we're finding out there wasn't a conversation.
Yeah. But what did you expect? Like, and an honest opinion, most people outside.
Hold on, Hustle. Hold on. Excuse me. Start that over, please. Do you remember what you said?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Now, you can't, that's hard to say. Like, I could understand people feeling like that, but most people who are outside the organization, who are on the outside looking in, really feel like the reason KD left was because of Westbrook.
Mm-hmm. So
most people, so I don't feel like he's going to communicate and tell him, because if he do tell him, then he will have to tell him the reason he's leaving is because of him.
What's wrong with that?
And I don't think he got it in him to tell him that.
Well, if you can't be like, oh, I can't tell him. Like, they were Batman and Robin. You know what I'm saying? And I, although we argued about who Batman was and who Robin was a lot last season.
That's what I'm saying. And you can't ever win. And whenever you have a team and y'all battling for who's Batman and who's Robin, those teams they rarely win. That's why Shaq and Kobe didn't win 6-7 straight championships.
So you still feel like he didn't owe that man an explanation or owe that man a phone call or a text to just be like, yo, go ahead, Batman. Robin gonna leave. Robin gonna go. You know what I'm saying? You don't think that should have happened?
I just don't feel it depends on the nature of the relationship, and I don't see them as being close. I didn't ever think they were close. I can tell by the way they played and that they wasn't close.
You don't have to be close with a nigga to give him some respect and say, I'm out. Do you? Man, do you? After you were one game away from going to the championship with this man. Y'all had to have some type of connection to get that far, to beat the Spurs, to get almost beat the 73-9 Golden State Liars. They had to have some type of connection now.
A back on the court, they were two talented guys.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. It's work. It's work.
You know, it's work. Friends off the court.
You don't have to be at work. If you are working with someone, just a perfect example, Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Do you think Skip just dipped on Stephen A? No.
No.
See what I'm saying? I just feel like knowing now that KD didn't tell Westbrook a thing, he has not talked to him.
He's weak.
That's weak to me. I'm sorry. That's weak. The man at least deserves a phone call, because all of us were wondering if he was going to leave, if he wasn't. And then for him to go to the team that beat you, it's cool because it's your career, but I just feel like as a man, he probably should have just had a conversation of something. Something should have been said. And to see Westbrook getting interviewed, they keep asking, so you still haven't heard from him? No. He's like, no, I ain't talked to the nigga. Stop asking. When they play against each other, I kind of want to be there.
You know what? I just feel like in the back of KD's mind, he feel like he did some. People don't feel like he did some bitch shit, and I feel like he know what type of person Westbrook was. I don't think he could look Westbrook in the eye
as a man
and be like, Westbrook, I'm going to play with Steph.
So the big four,
he couldn't do that. So right. You might be right. I just feel like he couldn't man up and look him in the eye and say that.
That's right. That right there might be the reason that they don't get back to the championship, because karma is a motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Karma is a bitch, and I just feel like that's the only thing that I ever said. I said, you make your own moves. This is your life. You go where you need to go. You do what you need to do. But that was your wingman. That y'all was a duo, and there should have been a conversation. To me, anyway. So
when they don't win, it ain't gonna be because of that. It's not gonna be.
You never know.
It's gonna be because of number two. It's gonna be because of number two.
Maybe. So the big four, the only team with a big four got killed on the rebounds. They got four of the top. Well, let me not even say that to you, because Charles Barkley said that Klay Thompson was the second best player in the NBA last night. Did you hear him say that?
Yeah, he got the K right.
He got the wrong. It was the other team's K.
Yeah,
the one with K, the. Man. Did you see his cornrows? I could see the parts, and he got a little zigzag in them. Like, he was lit last night. I was like, all right, Kawhi.
Look, Oh my God! Did you see how aggressive he was?
Man, though? He was 35 points. Anytime they tried to double, they did a lot of pick and roll. I wasn't sure how much I would like it, but I see the strategy of it. But they started to do a lot of pick and roll with him and Gasol. And I think it was really just for the switch to get Zaza on Kawhi, which makes sense. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like the Spurs, people are always like, oh, you know, everybody's hopping on Coach Pop's nuts, but he's not really that great because he's had all these Hall of Famers his whole career. That's why his teams have been so good. And I think it's bullshit. I'm like, no, you can have Hall of Famers and still be trash. What do you think of Pop as a coach?
Honestly, I think Pop's the best coach ever.
Even over a Phil?
I think Pop is the best coach.
I can't argue that. I'm not going to sit here and argue with you about it, honestly.
You know why? You know why? Because it don't matter who the player is, he finds a way to get this player to buy into his system.
Yeah, he reminds me of Belichick. He's Belichick.
Yeah, he hasn't always had the best talent. He hasn't always had, but he has always found a way to make players buy into his system and play the right way when they play with him.
Yeah.
And it's proven.
I like how every guy on their team feels comfortable shooting the ball if they're open. I like that. Other teams, you see them play, there are certain guys where you're like, no, he's not going to shoot that. That's not what his role is. When you see the Spurs play, if he's open, he's going to shoot it. That's because that's really how they do it. They swing the ball. Everybody's equal. Nobody cares who's getting the shots. They play really good team basketball. And watching them last night move like a well-oiled machine, it almost makes me – I'm trying to figure out why they lost last year. Why did they lose – to OKC?
Well, last year was different. There were a few questionable calls. Like two or three games against OKC went down to the end and couldn't win any direction.
Right.
So you got to look at that. And last year, they were not as athletic as youth as they are now.
They got Aldridge.
Jonathan Simmons has been put in a rotation now. He's athletic. He's 6'6". He can finish above the rim. Who else, you know, when the last time San Antonio had a guy dunk on somebody?
Let me tell you something.
Guard.
Simmons, how lit are you if the season before you was bouncing back and forth between teens and the D-League, and then you get subbed in game one of the 2016 season, game one in the first quarter, you come off the bench. First quarter. Talk about confidence. Talk about Pop believing in him. Like, I know last year he had a couple games where he did some shit and everybody was like, ooh, he might be good. But apparently Popovich believes in him. And when your coach trusts you enough, because the Spurs did start off a little slow to me. It was a little off in the beginning. And this is what I like about basketball as opposed to football. When you're playing basketball and your starters come out stagnant and slow, your coach will be like, sub, let me get these guys in till y'all figure some shit out. In the NFL, that never happens. Like, ever. Ever. And it's like, in the NBA, if you can really play, you're going to play. For the most part, you're actually going to play. And to see Simmons come off the bench, 20 points, dunking, and outside of the offense, he was balling on defense. He was doing a lot. Huh?
I feel like defense has always been his thing.
Yeah.
But his offense, because he shot those threes with no hesitation.
None.
I'm like, okay.
Pure confidence. You know, all it looked like a guy that didn't just come from a D-League team. He didn't look like, you know, he has four daughters, and he contemplated quitting the NBA because he was just like, I got to go work a job. Like, I can't keep bouncing to this D-League, not getting paid and all this stuff. And I'm just like, man, look at how God works. This man is now, like, he came in. I can see him possibly falling into that starting position sometimes. Like, if some injuries happen and all those things, like, he could be a starter. I wouldn't mind him starting.
It just put them in a position where they don't have to play small.
Yeah.
They don't have to play small. Like, if they do play small, they don't have to have Patty Mills in the game as shooting guard. Or, you know, they can have a lineup where, you know, Ginobili handling the ball, They could have Ginobili, Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard, Jonathan Simmons, and LaMarcus Aldridge.
They can
have it. Just, it gives them options. It makes them a better team, especially with Kawhi Leonard ascending game constantly ascending. The sky's the limit.
Kawhi had 35. Aldridge had 26. Gasol didn't. The defense. Gasol ain't never really been able to guard nobody. We're not gonna hate on his defense. We're not gonna do that because that's pointless, right? But do you feel comfortable with Gasol replacing Timmy Turner?
Oh yeah, I feel very comfortable. I feel like it's good for them. I feel like it's better. It's good. It's better for them offensively, mm-hmm. in my opinion. But Tim Duncan's better defensively. I feel like it gives them a legit, you know, 7-footer who can score in the post, back to the basket, and who can move, who knows how to facilitate in the offense. He can catch mm-hmm. it and move to the open player. Like, I feel like it makes them going to take advantage of him. He's going to be a threat for them.
Dewayne Dedmon came off the bench. I don't know a lot about him. I don't know. What can you tell me about this guy? Do you know any of his info?
He's an athletic shot blocker, supposedly a rim protector. It didn't show much in the game today. You could tell he's not that great on the offensive end, mm-hmm. but he's athletic and he's a rim defender. I think he's gonna be one of those guys that probably gets to play, gets taken out the rotation in and out. You know, when they juggle rotations. He's going to be a guy going in and out of the rotation.
Mm-mm-mm. So do we feel the Spurs are returning to, this is early, you know, one game, but we do have to ask these questions. I already know how you feel about the Cleveland. I already know how you feel about the Knicks. I'm going to figure out what you feel about the Warriors, but how do you feel about the Spurs returning to the Western Conference Finals after just one game? What do you see?
I wouldn't be surprised if the Spurs made it to the finals. I mean, they have a chance, like from the top to bottom. I feel like they have a chance. I feel like they're gonna start pushing the youth in now, like with Kyle Anderson and Jonathan Simmons. And I feel like those guys give them a chance to go to the next level. Like and now, you know, with Tony Parker being able to just be a veteran now, take a back seat. I feel like with those two, Kawhi and LaMarcus and the rest, I mean, they can beat anybody.
Mm-mm-mm. So what about Golden State? Do you see them returning to the Western Conference Finals?
They have a chance. I feel like in the playoffs, it's going to be different. You know how it was growing pains for Miami when they went 9-10? When they started the season off with 9-10 and 10-9, mm-hmm. And then they turned their season around.
Mm-hmm.
In the playoffs, when the game slows down and the ice, it's just going to be different because they have two superior scorers. I feel like in the playoffs, it's going to be different.
I'm just not comfortable with hearing turn it around with the 73-9 war. I'm not comfortable. I mean, they didn't lose. Their first game they lost last year, they like the 25th game. They didn't lose at home till April. And they lost both of those in one night, first game. Are we overreacting? I feel like I might be overreacting, but I feel like it's a bad sign. Because you got the big four. You went out and paid KD. You got rid of your nucleus, which, you know, as a shooting team, a team that shoots a lot of shots, the reason that you were able to compete and get those shots and do the things you did because you had a rim protector and you had a guy that you could go to inside with Bogut, and now he's gone. How are they? You're definitely living and dying by the three now. Like, it's not even a question. And I know KD's come in and he's supposed to be another scoring threat, but at some point you got to play defense and you have to get rebounds and you have to protect the rim. Who's gonna do that? I don't get it.
Now, they do lose a rim protector. I feel like that's one thing they lost with Bogut and Azili leaving. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to find a big man to cover space and protect the rim. They don't have that right now. So that's something that they're going to find. they're going to have to find. But as far as everything else, as far as how they're going to win, I mean, the game changed now. With you being able to zone up and the way defense is played now, I mean, shooting threes is basketball. That's a part of basketball. Because one-on-one, it's kind of hard to just be one-on-one in today's game because they can always slide a guy over on the other side of the paint.
Right.
Anytime if someone there waiting on you. So now shooting is the conventional way of winning.
Right.
Most of the teams that win are the best 3-point shooting teams in the league.
Yeah, it's completely different. But the weirdest part is, you know, back in the day, they didn't shoot as many threes, but they used to have higher scoring games.
Yeah, because they were running. They were running and they played bad. Like you said, they played. I mean, and then, you know, like you said, with them not being able to play help defense and running. And the pace of the game, it makes it easier to score. That's why I'm like, they say today's game is weak or today's game is soft. Yeah, it may be soft, but it's not easy to score in today's game.
Right.
It was easy to score back in the day because
there was
the way the league of defense was, if you had to help, you couldn't fake help or slide, you got to go. So you knew where the help was coming from. Now you don't know where the help coming from.
Mm-hmm.
It's different.
So I don't want to be rude.
Go ahead.
I don't want to be rude.
Go ahead.
I don't want to be rude and say, and I know for a fact we saw on the East Coast, we saw the best team in the league versus the not best team. Who in the East do you think, you know, one game, some the other teams haven't played, who in the East do you think is the number two seed early? Because it's not the Knicks. It is not the Knicks.
I honestly think it's probably going to be Boston Celtics.
I knew you was going to say that, dog. You still on Boston? Dang.
I'm not on Boston. They just have a system. They have a system in place, and the coaches and the players have bought into the culture that Brad Stevens has.
So no, so no Toronto, no Atlanta, no.
No, Toronto has to find a power forward that can play. They're going to have to find them a power forward on their team. So I feel like that's going to hurt them a lot of times. And, you know, Detroit lost Reggie Jackson with that knee injury. So usually with those knee injuries, some players don't ever come back and play the same again.
Right.
So you lost him. And, you know, Indiana got with the Jeff Teague. And with that, they have a great starting five. Look like a pretty good starting five. They're going to have to develop a chemistry with them. So
I feel you on that. On the West, we definitely, I'm not going to shade the Warriors. That's one game. But I'm going to say, you know, we did see two of the top teams in the league on the West. There was a third game that I didn't get to watch because I was too busy watching the other game. But did you catch a little bit of the Portland-Utah game? You there?
I watched most of it. I didn't even get to catch the fourth quarter. Because I was so busy watching this Golden State game.
Right.
You know, it was a blowout.
Me too.
I couldn't even watch the crunch.
I was just watching Simmons, dog. I couldn't even change the channel. I just wanted to see him.
Yeah. We, you know, you analyze everything. Facial expressions.
Yes.
We look.
Nah, yes.
But Dame Dollar, man.
It looked right. I did peek a couple times. He looked like he was still right. People are arguing that they got the second or third best backcourt in the league. Your opinion on that?
Oh, it is. It's hard. Like, your number one is Steph and Clay, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So after that, like, honestly, people like Kyle and DeMar DeRozan, you know, they're more. But I really love the way I like the way those two play. I really like them better.
Okay, so Utah. I saw a little bit of Joe Johnson with Utah.
I knew you were gonna say something about Joe.
I'm still a fan, man. Utah, you know, they looked all right last night. But a little bit that I caught. I don't see them as a contender, but they looked all right. They look good. I'm excited for this whole season. I'm so lit. This is the worst time of the year too for me because I watch East Coast games and West Coast games. Like I stay up until the games are over, And I even
every
watch,
night.
Yeah, and I even watch, you know, I never watch post game, all that stuff with the NFL unless my man is playing, because it's a bunch of bullshit. But I do watch NBA on TNT, their post game, which is usually hilarious. Yesterday's was terrible. I never thought I would ever see Jim Brown say some of the things that he said last night, but I'm not getting on none of that today.
I turn it down. Whenever that stuff come on, now I don't even listen to it. I turn it, I mute the TV, I do whatever. I don't like that. I can't deal with it.
It was so bad, but you know, I like watching the post game of NBA because not only do they actually say things, they might not be the smartest opinions, and you know what I'm saying, but what I do know is at least it's their opinion. It's not puppetry like it is in the NFL. So even if a guy is saying, oh, this guy's better, that guy's better, I feel like he truly believes that. So that's kind of why I watch. And then they're funny as hell. Shaq and Barkley are some of the two of the dumbest motherfuckers I ever.
Oh, man.
They are so funny to me. I hate Charles and I love him at the same time. He's such a little coon, but you cannot deny that he's funny and, you know, he's opinionated. I don't even care if I don't believe him all the time or I don't agree with him, but I love that he's so opinionated. I just like people that stand by whatever it is they say, even if it's some ridiculous shit. But basketball is back, Hustle. We're back. We are back. And I hope you're ready, because I'm going to be calling you to jump in with me a lot. You know, I know a lot of NBA players, and my name ain't as clean as I want it to be in these streets. So everybody don't want to come on my podcast. So that's what it is sometimes. People are scared that they're going to get like some doo-doo on them if they come on my podcast. Like, people hate me and love me, but they're afraid if they come on my podcast, they're going to lose some money or some fans or some dumb shit, which is not even true. But that's what people make them believe. Like, oh, if you go on her podcast, people are going to hate you. No, they're not. The people that matter, the culture, the people that listen to my podcast are people that want the truth. They want real shit. They don't want somebody that's going to lie to them and just say whatever to prove their narrative or stick to whatever it is that they feel like is right. And I'm hoping that more people will want to come on my podcast and talk about sports. You know, I'm trying to show people that I actually know this game. You know, people keep saying, oh, it's Brent. Brent's telling her what to say. And I'm just like, we don't even agree on the same stuff.
Yeah.
You know that. We don't even have the same opinions about a whole lot of stuff. And that's why I'm just like, why do people think we're the same person? We're not. So I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you, you know, coming on. Anytime I ask you, you hop on with me. You give good insight. You always back it up with facts. You're funny. You can take some jokes and shit. So thank you for joining me, man.
I appreciate you for having me.
It's all good.
You bring out my personality. You bring it out.
And yeah, so this little group chat that you're in, you want me to jump in it?
Yeah, man, we discuss sports, man, and I be wondering that you can post your podcast. You gonna listen, you know, because it's a different variety of group. It's from young to older, like, you know, a bunch of people. It's called All Things NBA, and they just be discussing, you know, sports questions, who they like, who they don't like, you know, just topics. We can talk about everything.
Cool. Well, I'm gonna go ahead and jump in there because you know I done left the other group chat. I dumped that one. I can't be in there with a whole bunch of All Lives Matters ass niggas. It's just not gonna work out for me, dog. It's really not. If we gonna stick to sports, we can stick to sports. But if we gonna start talking about All Lives Matter, and then I'm gonna ask you when have all lives ever mattered? You're not gonna be able to answer that because it's never happened. You know, all lives have never mattered.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true.
So anyway, let me get out of here. I got some things to do. Hubby's on his way home, so I got to become domesticated again. But thank you, Hustle, for joining me. I really appreciate you. And we're going to be in touch real soon.
All right.
All right, peace. So yeah, thank you everyone for joining me. That was my boy, Hustle. Hustle and I have a lot of sports conversations, like pretty much every day. We talk about every sport. He was a basketball player. If you want to go back into the archives, he's been on my podcast maybe twice already. And he gives good insight on football and basketball. He played basketball in college. Pretty knowledgeable guy. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. We like to try to have fun. I'm still going to stick to the Monday night games, is what I've decided. Monday night games, I'm for sure going to broadcast. And then I'm just going to jump in and out with these NBA games whenever possible. I'm going to still try to do some Thursday night games, but there's not going to be any guarantees. But I'll mix some up. I'll do half basketball, half football. I'm going to try to give you guys whatever it is you want. Feel free to comment on Twitter or Instagram and let me know what you think about each episode. Try not to be disrespectful, because y'all know I'm the queen of disrespect and I will cuss your ass out. So if you have some constructive criticism, and when you give someone constructive criticism, you must understand that if I feel you haven't constructed anything, I don't need your criticism. Okay? If you're not at least good at talking about sports, don't tell me that I'm not good at it. Okay? When I say constructive criticism, tell me some things that can make the show better. For example, a lot of people are telling me they want to hear that they want to ask Miko questions again. Some people want the advice column, the Dear Abby, where, you know, people can write in. And I do have my email up, iheartmikogrimes@gmail.com. If any of you guys want to write to me and give me as much information as you can about a situation, it could be as far as you playing sports. It could be relationship advice. It could be family advice. It could be career advice. Whatever it is that you want to ask me, I'll answer the questions on my podcast. If you have an Ask Miko question, you can email me. You can tweet me. I don't suggest you leaving it on Instagram, because I get a lot of likes and comments and I miss a lot of those. And I don't answer my DMs very often on Instagram because there's just way too many of them. I'm so sorry, you guys. But Twitter and my email are the two best ways to get any questions off to me and any advice or anything you need from me. And if there's any constructive criticism, I will accept it on Instagram in my comments, only on when I post the podcast, or on Twitter or my email. I appreciate you guys. I love you guys for showing me love. And I hope that we continue to show love and have fun on this podcast. I'm out.